when you're buying a property, get the company that has the insurance on there. You want to get their deck page and see what coverages they have. Then go out and find a qualified insurance broker who will actually look at it for you and make sure that you have business interruption. Make sure that you have replacement value. Make sure that you have the proper deductibles on there.
Everybody, Jake Gino here, and today we're discussing the current multifamily insurance market and what's added to the increased rates over the last few years. Gino, how's it going?
Doing good, Jake. How you doing, brother?
Always making it happen, big man. So, Gino, this is your show today. You are the expert, and we're gonna turn it over to you because we had an expert on our Monday class, and he broke it down for us this week. So we're going to summarize that a little bit. But, G-Dad, what's added to these increased rates? What can we do from a buying criteria standpoint? And what can we do to lessen the pain? So you got three questions there. Take them in any order you want.
When we started the business, Jake, insurance was just easy. Walk in a park, $200 a door, $250 a door. Up until about 2 years ago, it seemed as if the world changed with insurance. And I don't have a specific reason why certain areas are much riskier than others. We just had a gentleman on a podcast yesterday. He's in Northwest Indiana. He's like, insurance is nothing up here. I'm paying the same. It didn't go crazy. But if you're in areas like Houston, Texas, if you're in areas like Florida, insurance has absolutely changed the game for a lot of people underwriting deals. And I think what people have to understand is insurance companies are trying to mitigate risk. So how do we look at properties and try to mitigate the risk for ourselves and try to get insurance premiums down? Or when we're looking at a deal, some of the red flags that we'll see in a deal that will make insurance more expensive.
And let me say something about that, Gino, because the cool thing about what you're saying, and this is sort of the advantage of buying deals with Fannie and Freddie, is that look at the data that these insurance companies have collected over the years. They're going to tell you what they like and what they don't like. Do you think there's some value in seeing what they're looking out for and maybe what you should be looking out for as well with your buying criteria? And the reason I compared that to Fannie and Freddie is that when you buy deals with agency versus a community bank, their standards are higher. The way they look at insurance is going to be looked at with more scrutiny. So you're getting all these layers of protection as you start to ratchet up into a more professional run organization for your investment company. So I think we're going to give you a lot of these today, but say, hey, if these insurance companies are saying this might be important, you might want to look in the mirror and look at your own business and say, how can I use these to improve my own buying criteria? That's the goal of today's show.
So. And the buy right criteria, if you want to learn more about buy right criteria, go to jakeandgino.com/webinar. Register for the webinar we're having monthly. We have a live webinar every month. The previous month's webinar is there. We usually talk about buy right topics. So go to jakeandgino.com/webinar and sign up. But I'm going to share a story with you, Jake. I don't think I ever told you this. When I was in the restaurant business, insurance would come up every year. And insurance was expensive. And we always got the better carriers. But what did the better carriers do? They were more stringent. They looked under the table, above the table. They actually would go into my walk-in box and make sure that all the stuff was stored properly. Make sure there were lids on the food. Make sure there's no cross-contamination going on. Make sure that the kitchen was clean. And I would get pissed at every single one of these inspections. But now I know why. Because they wanted me to be at less risk as possible. We even actually, in the parking lot,
LTV, Gino. They want 50% LTV, so there's no risk on there, and they just want to collect the money every month. That's it.
This company was so crazy that outside, in the front, the concrete had settled on the walkway this much, had settled about 6 inches, and they were complaining about that. I'm like, bro, that's part of the city, that town. I can't fix that. There's nothing I can do there. And I had grates in the parking lot. You know, when the water rains, there's grates. Well, the grates were about 3 inches wide each one. They were complaining about that, saying that a woman with high heels might get stuck in those grates. I'm like, bro. Come on now. Give me a break.
The heel or the pointy witch toes?
Either. No. I'm like, come on, guys. You're killing me here. But now I understand why. And that's for you. So when you actually have a property, clean up your deferred maintenance. When you know there's an inspection coming, don't have the gutters hanging off the roof. Clean, you know, do the landscaping. You know, blow out the parking lot. Make the property look good. So when the insurance you know, inspector goes on, they'll look at it and go, okay, there's less risk on here. I mean, appearances mean everything. The perception means so much in this. But when you're looking at a property, there's a few things that will spur or make insurance more expensive. First thing is a high crime area. Now, we're not saying not to buy in a high crime area. What we're saying is,
I don't think you should.
Well, I don't think you should.
I think that's a bad idea.
No, there are people out there who have the buyer criteria that are buying these deals at great price points, and they can actually manage these properties.
I don't want to buy a deal in a high crime area.
I'm agreeing with you. All I'm saying is, if you do buy one, just expect your insurance premium to be higher. That's all. Or if you're in a B area, $70,000 median income, and there is a murder on the property, or there is something that happened that's really big, your insurance is probably going to go up. So if you're buying a property that something has happened on that property, you're buying that deal, make sure you get the reports and you go to the insurance company and say, what's going to happen to the premiums? Oh, they're going up 10 grand. Oh, well, Mr. Seller, guess what? The premiums are going up because of what happened on the property. We have to have a reflection in the price. That's how I would handle it. I mean, because
Fanny
I don't want
to. You're not going to like to see the murder on the property either.
Yeah. So just be aware of that. Anything with occupancy under 75%, insurance may be more expensive at that price because there is risk. When you're renting a property at sub 75, are you able to have, you know, able to pay the mortgage payments? We don't know. But sometimes people are taking over a property with distress with that value add. So you may have to pay more upfront in insurance when it comes to that.
All right. This is the last time I'm going to say it. Fannie and Freddie are not going to like to see that either. Occupancy less than 75%. Are you seeing the alignment here, folks? All right. You know, the criteria is out there if you just follow with the big.
Yes, but a lot of us aren't buying with Fannie and Freddie right now. We're using community banks. We're using credit unions. We're using different forms of debt. Maybe seller financing. You're seller financing the whole entire deal. So understand that these are things that you may not know with Fannie and Freddie. That's why we're sharing these things with you right now.
But here's the thing, too. If you're buying, though, and then at some point, maybe you're going to want to sell. These are the things where you want to get your property to this point where there's not going to be murders. The occupancy is over this. You don't have these other things that you're going to get into. I'm just making the analogy so people can say, hey, what does good look like and where do I want to get to as well?
That's a great point, Jake. The wiring in the building. If you have aluminum wiring, not opposed to copper, will an insurance company even cover that? Not sure, but that is a big risk. Circuit breakers. No one talked about circuit breakers up until 4 or 5 years ago. We have Stablock, Federal Pacific, and Zinsco. There are carriers that will cover them. We're actually looking at a property that they're being covered right now. But when you go to sell, will insurance companies be actually, you know, providing insurance for those circuit breakers? Each breaker on average costs about $1,500 to change. So when you're doing your due diligence and you see it pop up, we go, oh, wow. You know what? It may cost you an insurance carrier, and you will definitely have to replace them because they are a fire hazard. So just beware of those types of circuit breakers. Claims activity. Jake's looking at a property, and man, this property, what we call a loss run. You ask for a loss run on the property, and you get the last 5 years of activity. Wow, this property's had 3 fires, 2 thefts, hail damage. Well, guess what? When you go to get insurance on this property, they're going to ask for a premium because there is risk on there. And I'm going to throw in one more. Beware of flood insurance. I mean, you may have a property that has 1/10 of one building on it. You may have to segregate that out, but you still need some type of flood insurance. If you need flood insurance, expect it to, I don't know if you want to say double, but it's going to be prohibitively more expensive. Just going in eyes open and understanding that and putting that into your underwriting is going to give you a leg up and I think a heads up against the competition saying, you know what, here's property on the flood zone. Should I even buy a property in flood zone? I don't know. Don't answer that question. Jake and I, we're not really big fans of it. We'd rather not buy properties in flood zones. If everything else checks off, median income, vintage, value add.
It's a small section that we can segregate out, but yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you want to add anything to that, Jake?
Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's a fire. Okay. No, I'm serious though. That's going back to your claim stuff. If the insurance company's seen it and there's been a fire or there's been issues or something, you're going to get dinged. That's going to be a pay it forward type of activity. So yes. Just know that the insurance company, that's the motto. If there's smoke, there's a fire. If something has happened, bad. Okay. Discount, you know. For them, meaning they're charging you more. So just be on the lookout for that.
And what I would say about insurance is when you're buying a property, get the company that has the insurance on there. You want to get their deck page and see what coverages they have. Then go out and find a qualified insurance broker who will actually look at it for you and make sure that you have business interruption. Make sure that you have replacement value. Make sure that you have the proper deductibles on there. Make sure that you have business interruption, that you have cyber.
Loss of rents.
Loss of rents, which is business interruption, and you have errors and omissions, all these different things. We can go on and on about all the different types of categories you have rent, but I've listed a bunch of those right now. So make sure you go back. If you missed what I said, go back and listen to all those different types of coverages. Check to make sure you have it. And what I would say, as you're listening to this, you need to review your policies annually, because it's called the expense creep. Every year, they tend to go up 3 to 5, and in some instances, a lot more over the last couple of years, depending on what market you're in. Go out there and shop it with 3 or 4 different insurance agents, and don't be the cheapos like Jake and Gino, where you're just looking for the best price. You need to look for the best value. You may have to pay more, but you have to make sure that you are covered, because you have to insure not for the consequential, but for, as Garrett Gunderson says, the catastrophic. You want to make sure that you have coverage, that if something goes wrong and all of a sudden a cybercrime happens and somebody hacks you and they steal some credit cards, or you wire money somewhere and you lose it, you have the proper coverage. So make sure you're working with an agent who deals specifically in multifamily.
Yeah. So I'm gonna talk about the catastrophic here in a second, but also a couple that we've run into, handrails. There's some of these late 70s, you know, vintage products have these like 30-inch handrails on them. You know, you get a big enough property, that can be a hefty expense. Wow. And then they're definitely going to flag you for that. So be on the lookout for that. I think you mentioned coastal areas. That's really where people are getting hammered right now. If you're in a coastal market, or that's where you're investing, that's where the really high premiums are going to come in. So just know that that's going to be a thing, and you're going to be fighting for even maybe a carrier to insure it. So that's a problem. And then we didn't really touch on deductibles, but when, you know, Gino's saying, look at insuring for the catastrophic, it's not uncommon on a multifamily property to see a $50,000 deductible, right? I think, you know, there's large CapEx reserves a lot of times if you're playing this thing right. So I'm not saying for anyone to do that, but I would say, hey, I want to see a $10,000 deductible. I want to see a $25,000. I want to see a $50,000, maybe a separate deductible for hail. And these are some of the ways that you can get creative with writing these policies. So I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of that as well.
Jake, the next step I would say is, if you're seriously considering multifamily and you're looking to invest in multifamily, or you have units and you're looking to scale up, just go to jakeandgino.com/apply. Apply to work with the team. See how we can help you out scaling your portfolio. Because these are things that we can talk about here on a surface level. But if you really want to get deep and down into it and really want to learn what insurance agents we're using, we refer out all our insurance agents to our students. We refer out our mortgage lenders. We refer out our cost segregation specialists, the entire team of people we're working with. And when you save that thousands of dollars, or you're covered of something that you didn't even have an idea or an inkling, it's so worth the investment. So go to jakeandgino.com/apply.
Hey, and that's it, folks. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. We'll see you next time.